Thank you, everybody, for coming today. We are just so excited and pleased to have Jereen Mason here today from Southern Utah Insurance. She has been in the insurance industry way too long, over 25 years. She started her own business here in, 1992, I think you started, Southern Utah Insurance. She is one of the best professional insurance people that I've ever met. In fact, David and I, that's how we, when we moved here, got our, when we had to come off COBRA and had to get regular insurance, we did that. And then, of course, we went back when we moved on to Medicare, which probably most of us here are, except for Chris. He's just too young. Anyway, she has years and years of experience, and today she's going to talk to us a little bit about Part D. And, of course, you know D stands for drugs. And so do you want them to hold their questions? If you will hold your questions till the end, then she will address them because she has a nice presentation for us, and we'd like to get through the entire presentation. So take it away, Jereen.
Can you hear me?
I got it. Yay! All right. Thank you, everyone, for giving me the opportunity to come here. And I know all of you are just so excited to talk about Medicare Part D. And again, this is only going to be an educational seminar, so I'm not going to be talking about plans, carriers, or rates. CMS, which requires us agents, it's called the gag rule, that we cannot discuss only certain things until open enrollment or the annual enrollment period, which starts October 15th of every year. And that's the only time that you can actually make plan changes. And you have until December 7th, okay, to make those changes. And again, any changes that you do between October 15th and December 7th will not start until January 1st. Okay, it just gives you time to go out and do your research, decide which plan you want, you enroll, and then it will be effective January 1st. Now, I don't want to confuse you because this is really called the annual enrollment period. Okay? This year, CMS has come up with a new, and I'm just going to touch, I don't want you to kind of keep it all in your head, but they have changed it. It used to be January 1st through February 14th was the Medicare disenrollment period. Okay? Meaning you only could, you know, if you didn't like your Medicare Advantage plan, you could actually disenroll and go back to traditional Medicare. So a lot of people weren't using it. So they changed it now to, remember these words, the open enrollment period. Okay? And the open enrollment period will allow you to, if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, okay, that means you have to be on. You can't, like, want to get on it, but if you're already on a Medicare Advantage plan, it gives you 3 additional months to decide if that's the Medicare Advantage plan you want, because you could switch, okay? So it just gives you an additional 3 months if you're enrolled, again, on a Medicare Advantage plan, that you could go from one Medicare Advantage plan to another, or you could disenroll and go back to just to traditional Medicare and pick up a Part D. Okay? So if you have anything to do with your Part D, you got to remember, it's only you can make plan changes during the annual open the annual enrollment period. Okay? Does that confuse you a little? I know, that's just kind of CMS. But you'll be hearing about it, so I just wanted to touch on it. Okay?
What is
Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. All right. Here we are. Part D.
Part D is under Medicare. It's a part, and it's only for prescription drug coverage. D for drugs, okay? Again, Part D, prescription drug plans, they're only available to Medicare beneficiaries. Medicare doesn't supply drug coverage directly, meaning that on your, if you notice on your Medicare card, you don't have a Part D, you have a Part A, and you have a Part B. But D is a part, but you do not get it from Medicare. You have to get it from a private insurance carrier. Okay, and private insurance carriers must follow, okay, the guidelines under CMS. And again, you must have Part A or Part B to join a Medicare prescription drug plan. All right, well, that kind of looks like it's cut off a little bit. Okay, Medicare, you can get a Medicare prescription card in two different ways. Okay, number one, you have a what is called a Medicare standalone prescription drug plan. That means that you can add that prescription drug plan, it's a standalone, you can add it to coverages like original Medicare does not cover prescription drugs, so you would have to add a standalone prescription drug plan. You would have to add it to a Medicare cost plan, some private Medicare private fee-for-service plans, sometimes a Medicare medical savings accounts, and some of these are not offered here in our area, so don't be alarmed if you're not understanding what they are. But they are out there. And again, Medicare supplement plans. Okay, so if you have a Medicare supplement, the only way that you're going to get a Part D is to sign up for a standalone Part D. Okay, and then the other one is you can get your prescription drug plan through a Medicare Advantage plan. Okay, these are plans. Again, they are contracted with CMS, and all you have to remember that they're pretty much their administrators, okay, for Medicare. So you can pick up a prescription drug plan. You can get all of your parts. That's what a Medicare Advantage plan is. You can get your Part A, your Part B, and your Part D under Part C. I'm going to have a test after, so I'm going to see how many of you guys get that one, right? But, yes, they kind of combine in Medicare. That's the advantage. So anytime you think of a word advantage, those are the Medicare Advantage plans. And that they are actually, you're going to get that from an insurance carrier, and they're going to administrate all your different parts under one plan. That's the advantage, okay? All right, everybody wants to know, Ann asked me to make sure that everybody understands, as well as probably you know, is the famous donut hole. But I have good news, okay? Because every year since Medicare Part D was developed in 2006, they promised to close the coverage gap little by little by little every year. So by the year 2020, the coverage gap would be completely closed, and you'd pay about 25% of the cost of your medications. Okay, but we have good news. Because the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2008 decided to quickly start it in 2019. Yay! And I'm going to go through so they understand really what this means. Okay? So, since the Affordable Care Act in 2010, the donut hole has been slowly closing, again, by 2020, as I have mentioned before. And you're expected to pay about 25% of their brand name drugs, okay, while you're in the donut hole. So, 2019, you'll no longer have to choose between expensive medications that work versus medications that cost less. I'm sure some of you probably come up against that. All right, so you guys are going to be experts about the Part D, and you're going to say, okay, I get this, because it can be very confusing, okay? All right. There's four phases, okay, to the coverage under Part D. And the first one, okay, again, this is the guidelines that Medicare, CMS, gives to these private insurance carriers that they have to go under certain guidelines, meaning they can't go above a certain deductible or a certain maximum out of pocket. But they can give you better coverage than their plan design. Okay? So some of them, again, on the standalone Part Ds, there's about 23 different plans that you can pick from. And they all range in different deductibles. Maybe there may not be a deductible. And so when you say that in this, these are actually 2019, okay, coverages. So on $415, you could see on a deductible for your Part D. Some of them may not have a $415. You might find a plan that doesn't have a deductible. You might find a plan that might have a $200 deductible. But they can range, but they can't go over $415. Okay? And now, after you meet your deductible, if applicable, you will have what is called the initial limit. And that's when you're going to start seeing coverage from your Part D. So that in your initial limit is where you're going to show your co-pays. So either, depending on the plan that you enroll in, is either going to have a co-pay or co-insurance. Okay, meaning, for instance, you might have a $20 copay, or say like for a brand name, maybe a $40 copay. Okay, now you're going to have that, and again, this is where people are really confused, is this is the full drug cost. You got to remember, this is what you pay, and this is what the insurance carrier pays, up to that initial limit is $3,820. Okay, so to kind of have it easier for you to understand, that gives you your full drug costs are over $318. You're going to go beyond the initial limit. Okay, a lot of people don't go over that. Your drugs are not that expensive, so you're not going to see, you know, anything more than just having your co-pays all year under your initial limit. So let's go beyond that. Let's say your prescriptions are higher than that, okay, in a 12-month period, meaning your full drug costs are over $318. You are going to hit the coverage gap, which a lot of people call the donut hole, okay? And this is where you're just getting a discount on your prescriptions, and you have to pretty much pay, okay, for that amount. So the way it's going to work, so once you exceed $3,820, you're going to enter into what is called the coverage gap, your donut hole, and you will become responsible of paying, okay, and again, you're going to get discounts, okay? So let's look at this. So if you go into the coverage gap or the donut hole and you're on a brand name drug, you're going to pay 25%, okay? And your drug manufacturer is going to be paying 75%. But you get credit for what the drug manufacturer, okay, has given you, the 75%. So that's good. So it's not like you have to pay. And I know this number looks a little high. It's $5,100. Okay? So if you're on a generic, then again, the drug manufacturer will pay 63%, and you'll pay 37% on generic drugs, which generally are not high cost at all. Okay? And actually, when I do drug plans and we do some comparisons, I've noticed that sometimes in the coverage gap, the cost is less than in the initial limit. Don't mean to tell you, I've never seen that. You know, back in 2006, I've had to have everybody pull out their generics so that they had enough room if they had an expensive medication. Because generally we can afford, you know, the cost of generics because they're not very expensive. It was our brand names that were killing us in cost. So now we can run everything through our drug plan. We don't have to become creative or anything like that. In fact, now it was funny because I had to start telling my clients, you got to start, don't pull out your generics. There's no reason to do that. You know, you want to run them through your drug plan. So that was good. And I'm seeing this. I cannot believe it. Last year, I saw a lot of things, you know, a lot of the costs were lower in the coverage gap. So I don't want you to be scared of that because now, you know, you shouldn't see a large difference. You will see maybe a little, but not drastic like you have in the past. Okay? So let's say that you have really high drug costs and you go beyond $5,100. Now you're going to exit out, which it states here, and how you exit out is if your average cost of your medications is $678, that kind of gives you a better idea on how the cost works, then you know that you're going to enter into the coverage gap, and then you're going to exit out, and that's when you're going to get catastrophic coverage, okay? So that's where you're going to, your plan will kick in again, and they will start paying. Okay, after you meet the $5,100, you will only have a small copay. Depending upon the plan you're on, you'll only have a small copay for generics and brand names. Okay, so I'll say like a brand name might be $8, and a generic might be $2 or something, you know, or generally what the cost is. So that's where you're going to have relief, and you're only going to be paying a small copay till the end of the year. So you have to remember, okay, that this always are based upon calendar year. Okay, so your deductibles. So I have to remind my clients, if you're just aging into Medicare and you're coming in halfway through the year, okay, then that could be a little different than when you have to be on it for a full year. Okay, because you may not be, you know, if you only start on Medicare and you're only through half a year, you're not going to probably get into any of these depending on the cost of your medications. So Medicare is always designed on calendar year, okay? So you have to make sure you understand where your costs are, okay? And then again, Medicare requires your drug plan to send you statements, okay? Now, they're not going to be real time, but they give you an idea about where you've been and how much you've spent, so you can kind of get an idea so that if the cost of your medications change, you're not shocked when you go to the pharmacy, okay? Because that's generally when I get a phone call. Hey, how come my prescriptions have changed, okay? So anyway, so when you dive into this, it's going to be a little bit more. But I'll stay after. So if you have any questions on this, okay, I'll be happy to kind of sit down and we can go more into detail in that. Okay? All right. Now that you understand the four different phases of Medicare, there's much more to it, right? So how do you shop for a Medicare Part D? You know, a lot of people have no idea what they're doing or how it even works. So let's talk. Let's talk about formulary drug plans. And I'm sure you're probably like, what are you talking about? Okay. So formulary drug plans, so all of your Part Ds, okay, on your carriers. Again, they have certain guidelines that they have to go by under CMS. And one of them, each one of them can have a formulary drug list. Are they the same? No. Okay. That's number one. That's something you have to pay attention to. Okay, because all under the guidelines is each carrier generally only has to choose two therapeutic drugs in each category. And of course, you know the two that they're going to pick are going to be the lowest cost. Okay, so that's why you need to make sure that your prescriptions, when you shop, okay, are covered under the formulary. because that could narrow down your options of carriers, because that's why you have all the different carriers, again, on the standalone Part Ds, or generally the Medicare Advantage plans. They have a decent, you know, they're pretty, a great drug plan, so you generally don't have to worry about that on a Medicare Advantage plan. Okay. Now, we'll get into this, but some of them have restrictions. Okay? So even though that you're looking and you're shopping and you're making sure that your drugs are covered under the formulary, oh, there's much more to it than that. Because now you're past the formulary, you have, there's examples and we'll get into a little bit more, you're going to have, which is called, you have drug tiers. Okay? So now you have drug tiers, which it could be a generic drug tier. It could be a preferred generic or a regular generic. It could be a brand, and it could be a non-brand, you know, non-formulary brand tier. So you have to be aware of what tiers your drugs fall into. And then again, the third one, where can you get your prescriptions at, right? You have to find out and make sure that your pharmacy is participating, okay? Now, let me tell you how detailed or evolved the Part Ds are, even on any, whether you're on a Medicare Advantage plan or if you're on a standalone. They've come out with preferred pharmacies and standard pharmacies. Okay? So, let's give you an example. Let's say that if you, and again, it's the popular ones, let's say Walmart. Okay, some of them, they might be a preferred pharmacy to where if you go down there, you'll have maybe a $4 copay, you know, for your generics. But maybe you don't want to go to Walmart, right? But you want to make sure that they're covered or you're going to a participating pharmacy, but they're a standard. So maybe you want to go to Stapley Pharmacy because you've been with them forever and you don't want to go to Walmart, right? But as long as they're under the standard and you're okay paying a little higher copay, you can do that. And everybody's happy. Okay? So be aware of pharmacies. Okay? Now, let's get into it a little even more. This is even funner. All right. So now, this is what you have to kind of be aware of. Now we're getting past formulary and pharmacy. Let's get into it a little more. Some of your Part D plans have what is called generic only. So some plans list a drug on their formulary but provide coverage only for the generic version, not the brand name. Okay? And substituted drugs, meaning they will give you a substitute, but it may not be the drug that you want. Okay, they have different categories. It might be, it may not be the exact name that your doctor has given you in a prescription. It's something that is similar but lower cost. Okay, and then of course you have your tier drugs, which we kind of touched on a little bit. You got to make sure you know what your copays are going to be. And some drugs require pre-authorization. Okay, so that's why it's important when you shop, you want to make sure you know if any of your drugs, okay, are required to have a pre-authorization. Because the first time you go pick up your prescriptions in January, you're going to be a little upset when you're finding out the pharmacy's like, well, it's not covered. Okay, so you want to make sure that you understand what, if any of your prescriptions are going to require pre-authorization, okay? And then you have step therapy. And let me explain that, okay? So let's say that you want to be on Prevacid, which is a brand name, okay? You can't just say that you want to go to the biggest, baddest drug without what? First trying the lower cost option. And you have to work your way up to that prescription. So it's not that you won't be able to probably get it. They want you to at least try a 30-day supply of the lower-cost medication. Okay? Because they're hoping it's going to save you money, you know, and it saves them money. And just for you to go to Prevacid, there may be a lower cost that works just as well. Okay? So you have step therapy, and then, last but not least, you have quantity limits. Okay? So sometimes, I have a lot of different people taking different types of medications, and they are taking more than what the general quantity limits are. So when you shop, you need to make sure that you're okay on quantity limits. Okay? So the fabulous thing about all of this that is so difficult, okay, is you can either go to an insurance agent like myself, and we can help you shop for drug plans, okay, and show you how to kind of what to look for. Or if you go to Medicare.gov, and there is a shop for Part D drug plans, you can actually go in there and put in your medications, and it will tell you all of this stuff and bring up generally all of the drug plans and what it's going to cost you, and if your prescriptions are on the drug formulary, what you're going to pay in a copay, okay? If there's a generic available that might be a lower cost option. So there is help out there. I know it's difficult, but generally if you learn how to shop, it'll save you a lot of heartache, okay, or being upset about a prescription that's not covered. Okay, but I'm not saying that after all of this, you're still not going to have a few issues. Okay? So we'll kind of go over that. So the next one is, and a lot of you might fall into this category. So let's say that you, because on the annual enrollment, you know what prescriptions that you're on now, right? And then generally you have to be on that plan for the whole year. So it's not like you can change. And say like in June, all of a sudden you need a brand name drug that doesn't have a generic and is not on your plan's formulary drug list. So that means it's not covered. Okay? And maybe there's not an alternative. Maybe that's something that your doctor wants you to be on because it's really, really important for you to be on there. Okay, there's always exceptions to every rule. Okay, so this is where if you have a new prescription during the year, okay, and you want to make sure that that's going to be on your formulary, so talk to your doctor. Make sure that he understands what plan you're on. You know, you can take a book with you, or you can talk about a medication, and then you can go and you can look it up. You could go back to Medicare.gov. You can look it up on your plan to see if it meets the formulary drug list. Or you could go online, you know, with your carrier, and they have the formulary drug list that you can look and see, you know, maybe what tier that would fall into. So let's say that you really need it. Well, that's where you need to get your doctor involved, because your doctor can do an exception, okay, to your plan. So he would actually, and there's three kind of different exceptions, okay, and that he believes that you need the drug that isn't on your drug formulary. So he has to call up your carrier and talk to them, and they can come up with something for you, okay? And he's the one that can explain to them your situation. So maybe he feels like the pre-authorization should be waived because maybe you're taking that prescription for a different reason, okay? Or maybe if you think you should pay less for a higher tier. Because generally when you go over through an exception, they put you in the highest tier. You know, if they approve it, generally they just put it and throw it into the highest tier. So generally you could ask for all of this, okay, through whom? Your doctor. Because he's the one that is telling you this is the prescription you need to take. And don't be frustrated, because this is where a lot of my clients don't understand how this works. Very, very important. Because this is where you get frustrated, okay, where you're just not going to have a prescription that you want. Okay? And then again, let's get it into it a little deeper. What happens if they still deny your exception? Which could happen. Sometimes maybe the doctor's busy and he doesn't have enough time. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of reasons why this still could be denied. So don't think that an exception is always approved. Okay? So if it even denies your exception, which I have done more and more all the time, there are pharmaceutical assistance programs. And generally it's on a really expensive medication, okay, that you can't afford. And your doctor's like, well, you need to be on it. So you have to kind of come and sit down and decide how that works. And so all of the drug manufacturers have a pharmaceutical assistance program. And again, it is based on income, you know, on your situation. But don't let me tell you, I've gotten a lot of people, especially if you're diabetic and you're on those really expensive diabetic medications, they have these assistance programs that will just give them a copay to pick up their medications. Okay? But again, you have to be in the know, right, to figure out on how to get help. But there's always help out there. Okay, so that is if you fall over and above. Here's the last and most. I don't know if any of you know about the Medicare Part D Extra Help Program. And this is where you have to, again, this is for the low income, and it gives you, it's $18,090 for an individual and $24,360 for a couple. Okay, that's where Medicare kicks in and helps you, finally. Okay, what it will do is if you're on, and it's called low income help, for what it does is it might reduce your cost on your monthly premium for your Part D. It eliminates your any deductible. And then you don't have a coverage gap. Okay, so all you're going to pay are your copays of $835 for brand and $335 for generic all year. Okay, but how do you get this? You go down to the Social Security office and you ask for an application. It's the low income for Part D. Okay? And so what happens is if you do have this, you still have to enroll in a Part D. They just coordinate it on the back end to where it helps you only have those copays. So you still have to enroll in a Part D plan. So if you have this, I just generally enroll you in the lowest cost drug plan, because it doesn't matter if you have a deductible, you know, because all of that goes away because you have this extra help. And then they even help you with your premium on top of that, to where you may only have a few dollars in actually a monthly premium for the low income. Okay? All right. Now, yay, we're all through that. Now, we're going to talk about the Part D late enrollment penalty. Yeah, this is like, yeah, okay, so this is where a lot of people do not understand. So let's talk about it. So let's just say, which I have a lot of people that are healthy when they turn 65 and they're looking for a drug plan or for benefits, but they're telling me, because since they have a standalone option, well, I'm not taking any prescriptions. Why do I need to enroll in anything, right? Well, you can do that. It's always an option, but I'm going to tell you what happens if you do not enroll into a prescription drug plan. And again, it has to be credible. So let's say you're a veteran, okay? Generally, you have access, they will cut to the VA prescription drugs plan, to where they generally will cover your prescriptions. So that's credible. So you don't need to enroll in a Part D, but you could. Okay? So if you're not liking some of the prescriptions that maybe the VA is going to allow you to have, because again, they always have their restrictions on what you can get through their plan. So I have had some veterans that would come in and still enroll in a Part D just because of the generics are easier to deal with. Okay? So you can have both. But you have to make sure you have a credible drug plan in coverage. You have to have some type of a drug plan. Okay? So what does that mean if you decide not to? Because I've had lots of people decided not to when the prescription drug plan first came out. Okay? So here's how it's going to work, just so that you understand. Okay, so let's say that in June you lost credible drug coverage. Okay, so what they do is you lost coverage in June. They give you 63 days that you can go without drug coverage because they want you to go out and shop. They want to give you some time after losing drug coverage. So let's say, so if you lost coverage at the end of June, you have July and August that they're not going to charge you a late enrollment penalty. So how this works is say like you enrolled again in May of the next year, or you'd have a 4% penalty because you don't have coverage in September, October, November, and December. Oh, again, but you picked up coverage January 1st through the open enrollment or the annual enrollment period. Okay? So let's talk about that. So you would have a 4% penalty on, and it's not on the premium or the Part D plan that you're enrolling in. They take your penalty off of a national average of 3502. Okay, now here's the bad news. Does that penalty ever go away? No. So you'll be paying 4% higher as long as you're enrolled on Medicare. Doesn't matter if you change plans, you can't run from it. They will keep that penalty on top. So in the long run, you could pay a lot more money by thinking you're saving money. Well, here's the only issue, okay? So let's talk about that. Remember, you only can win, can you change or pick up a drug plan only once a year, okay? So what happens is they were noticing, let's say that you decided not to enroll in a drug plan because you're healthy, and you're okay, because again, the only way that you're not going to have a penalty is if you never sign up for a Part D. They can't penalize you unless you sign up later. So they know sooner or later you're going to have issues, okay? That's one thing they know. Generally, I'm not saying all people, so stay healthy if you decide not to, you know. But so what happens is, where was I going with that? I've kind of forgot. Where is that? We're getting into this. All right. So the 4%, okay, oh, yeah, I know where is that. Okay, so let's say that you decided not to go and enroll on a drug plan, and then in June you find out you have cancer. Okay, can you get help? No, you can't enroll in anything. You're going to have to wait till the next, what? Annual enrollment period. So therefore, you have no coverage. So you would have to pay full cost until you can get a plan. And so it's not that you couldn't do that. It's just really inconvenient, and you're going to pay a higher cost. So actually, you're paying the back premium then, you know, when you enroll, and actually even more so. Okay, so you have to make sure you understand that, because I get this question all the time, especially when you're healthy. Why do I need to pay? And then I get the other question in when you have a Part D and you're paying the premium and you have low-cost generics, right? And you're only paying a couple of dollars and you're seeing your drug plan not paying really anything. Okay? Mentally, that's hard to swallow, right? Because you're going, why do I need this? Why do I? And it's really not designed for your low-cost generic drugs. It's designed for big, expensive medications, okay? And you may not ever, through your whole life, have an expensive medication, but in this day and age, until you pass away, and I hate to say that, your chances are pretty high. So even though you're healthy today, does not mean you're going to be healthy tomorrow. Okay? Yeah. Very, very important. So, how do you avoid the penalty? join a drug plan, a Medicare drug plan, when you're first eligible. You got to remember, you have to do when you're first eligible when you turn 65. And you don't go beyond 63 days of break-in coverage. And you tell your drug plan. Now, this is the other thing, is that we have issues. So even though that you had credible drug coverage, you don't tell anybody. Okay? So let's say you had a drug plan and you had drug coverage through an employer. And then you retired and then you came on and you picked up a Medicare Part D drug plan. And generally, they can tell that you haven't had, or they don't keep track of where you've had prior drug coverage. So what's going to happen is if they know that you were on your employer plan for 6 years, okay, and then you enroll, you're going to get a letter from your plan that's going to say you're going to have to send us proof that you've had credible drug coverage since you're eligible for Medicare, or you're going to get the penalty. They're going to slap it on there. And then you're going to have to fight. And let me tell you, it's not that we can't do it. It's very frustrating because you have to be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. So you have to send it in. It's like you have to appeal it, and it could take up to 6 months. And in the meantime, you're still paying that penalty. Okay? Yes. Yes. But it's just aggravating and frustrating when you have is patience. Okay? So if you can avoid that, please send in proof that you've had. It's called a credible coverage letter or a certificate of credible drug coverage that you can get from your employer or where you had your prior drug plan from, and you need to submit it to the carrier within a reasonable amount of time. They'll give you a timeline of when you need to get that to them, or they're going to slap on the penalty. Okay? All right, just a quick thing. I threw this in here because you're going to hear this year, okay? And I just want to kind of mention it. And I don't know how many of you are enrolled on a Medicare supplement. This is not the Medicare Advantage plan. It's called a Medigap plan or a Medicare supplement plan. Changes are happening in 2020 on that. So I'm just going to briefly hit on that. Legislation has passed that they, after 2020, they want to have everybody on those Medigap policies pay, or not on, it depends on which plan you pick, but under, they want to make sure you pay something, okay? And so what's going to happen is that Medigap plans will no longer be allowed to offer coverage for Medicare Part B deductibles. So I'm going to get into this a little more, and I'll explain it, okay? So right now, the Part B deductible is $183 for 208, well, for 218. We don't know what it's going to be next year. So that's something at the end of the year you have to pay attention, because that's when the government decides what your Medicare Part B premium is going to be, you know, any changes on Medicare alone. So what's going to happen? They are going to do away with, okay, Plan C and Plan F, because those two plans pay the Medicare Part B deductible. So don't worry. What's going to happen? Let me just make sure that you understand this. Okay, right here, that's the Medicare Part B deductible. Those plans are going away, but whoever's enrolled in that plan is called grandfathered, meaning you can stay on it. Okay? Clear. Don't let anybody force you. You know, that's what happens when fraud comes out or all that stuff. People will call you up. People are going to tell you need to change if you're on that plan. No. If you're currently enrolled as of 2020, so you have one more year, I can kind of sell it. After that, those plans will close and they'll no longer be sold on the market. Okay? So, the next best plan is going to be a Plan G, okay? So Plan G covers everything that the F and C does. It's just that you're going to have to pay your Part B deductible, Okay, and you can have an option. So whoever's on plan F currently, they could have the option of going to plan G at any time. I don't know that I would jump to that because, again, we don't know what the Medicare Part B deductibles are going to be, right? So every year you have a choice, but once you give up the plan F, you'll never get it back. Okay? So I wanted to touch on that because I've had confusion is out there. And so you'll have people, and again, I want to remind everybody here, okay, under the marketing guidelines, you cannot have anybody cold call you or come to your door and try to sell you a Medicare plan. It's against the guidelines, and they could lose their license. You can call up the state insurance commissioner, and you can complain that you've been harassed, and they can trace it. They can trace it from there, or you know you can turn them in and see what plan they're trying to sell you, and then we can generally call the company and tell them that they have a representative out going against the guidelines, and they can shut them down. Okay, so just be aware, you don't want people to jump on you, and it's not, you know, because they try to still. It's amazing, even though we have all these guidelines, it's amazing that we have agents out there that are still doing that. You know, I have people call, oh, so-and-so called me, you know, and told me I needed to switch. Right. Right. Well, and those, you know, you have to remember they're not flying by the right guidelines, and so you have to be aware. I'm just trying to protect you, okay? So be aware, pay attention, and you should be fine. But that is what's happening, okay? So if you're enrolled in Plan F, which is kind of generally the more popular plan, you can stay on it. Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot. That's the main message I wanted to give out. Okay. Wow, I think I'm a few minutes early. Yay. Now I can have questions. Does anybody have any questions at all?
I just have a comment.
Yes.
I think all these regulations, they're horrendous.
They are.
They are dealing with the older population group, and our brains start getting fried, you know? I mean, if you're 25 years old, you maybe get this stuff better, but when you're 60, 70, 80, 90,
you can. And you know what? It's very, and that's why they're trying to make it easier. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to phase something out or add something new or kind of bring it up to the times. And that's why it's so hard to understand, even with just Part A and B and D. You know, that's just the basics of Medicare. And it's very, very difficult. That's why you need to make sure you go somewhere and you trust somebody to explain it to you so you understand. You understand yourself on how to shop, maybe what to look at. You know what I mean? Don't just go into it blinded because you'll be frustrated. And you could run into some major issues, you know. And that's, I mean, even just like I said, just like the Part D, which generally thank you, Ann, for having me come and just spend time on that alone. Because that could be, I mean, I could spend hours on it. You know, and hours on it, and it's just so detailed and so, you know, hard to understand. So just pay attention, you know, and be smart. And do you want me to tell you, if your plan's working for you and you're fine, is there really a reason to change if you're happy? Now, again, it's called an ANOC letter. Please pay attention to this because October 1st, around the 1st of October, that's when your Medicare plan, they're going to send you out what the new premium is going to be for 2019. And what it does is if you open up, and I have a lot of people get a book, and it's like this, you know, and they don't read it because they think they have to read the whole thing. But if you just go, if you open it up, you go to the first couple of pages, it'll tell you the premium and what you're currently paying, what you had, and then it'll tell you what the new premium is going to be and if there's any changes. Okay, because on your Part D, as long as you're happy, remember those drug tiers? Maybe you have a drug that they still cover it, but it falls in a different drug tier, and you might have to pay a little bit more in a copay. And the main one would be is if you're on a preferred generic. okay, and maybe they moved it just to a generic, because there's a preferred generic drug tier, and then there's a regular generic drug tier. And that regular would be generally the ones that have the higher cost generic prescriptions in.
Do you find that the doctors really call the insurance companies and help you?
Don't mean to tell you, you have to follow up with them. They're busy, and that's the, you know, that's the, what's frustrating is because they make your doctor do it, and he hates paperwork, he's busy. You know, generally they have to hire somebody that helps you with that. But that's a requirement. That's part of what they do. And so you have to kind of just say, hey, look, you're telling me I need to take this prescription, but how can you if it's not covered? How can you afford that? You know, because what I don't want you to do is go out and try to afford it and you can't eat, you know, or you can't pay your power bill or something like that, because that's really not what it's designed for.
But are generally the doctors really doing that?
Yes. Yes, they are. And in fact, last year I've had a lot of that happen. And I mean, I had a very few that were denied, you know, on the exception. But we've just generally been able to just handle it. You have to kind of go through all of those, the process. And generally we will find something for you. And that's generally what it is, you know. I mean, you just have to understand the process. As you can see, it is detailed. It is detailed. It's frustrating. You know, a lot of people don't understand, and that's why it's important, is if you're older and you're having a hard time understanding, take somebody with you, okay, to understand what plan you want to enroll in. If you need to have somebody come with you, I have a lot of people, they'll have a family member, we'll come to that with them in our meeting, and so that they can make sure they understand and, you know, have any questions that they can ask so we can kind of make sure they're happy in what they pick. Because if they're, you know, you're right, if you're older, you're not kind of, you don't understand a lot of the stuff. And so.
Or you may not remember.
Right. It's so important to do that. I can't explain to you how important it is to, even when you go to the doctor anywhere, take somebody with you and be aware. Pay attention to what happens. Okay?
Getting an override or a
exception.
Often a place to start is your pharmacist. They have access to knowing what's covered. If you don't want to look in the booklet or anything, you know, ask your pharmacist because they know the plan you're on.
They do. They do, but
then you still have to go through your doctor. I realize.
Right. Yeah, they do, but be careful because some of them are busy. You know what I mean? And they're just not going to take the time to tell you. They're just going to say it's not covered. Because my frustration is I've had to call up some of the pharmacies here in town, and it's like, why don't you tell them that this had to be pre-authorized? I mean, it was just something easy. And they would come to me and say, no, they just said it's not covered. Well, that's because when they run it through, you know what I mean? It just says, well, it just requires pre-authorization, and maybe that person's busy, and he didn't look, and it says it right on it. You know, hey, this drug needs to be pre-authorized. But they don't turn around and tell you. Some of them do. I mean, that's why it's important to go to a pharmacy or a pharmacist that can really help you with through that process. Because a lot of them are busy. I mean, you've seen them. I mean, I don't know how many of you go into some of the bigger chain, you know, stores like Walmart, and they're busy. And they just are so busy that they're just not going to take that time, or they overlook. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's not that they don't want to. It's just that they're so busy, it's easy to overlook that stuff. So I've had to call them, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, it's just, I just couldn't fill the prescription. You know what I mean? So I told them, yeah, but it was pre-authorization. So all we needed to do is just send in, you know, a paper from the doctor, and they got it pre-authorized, and then, boom, you could go in and get your prescription filled. So, and here's another thing I just really quickly want to touch on, okay? Do not, I mean, if something is not covered, please be aware it's going to be hard because, I mean, if it's a drug that needs to be pre-authorized and you decided to pay for it, you're not going to get that reimbursed by your carrier because it wasn't pre-authorized at the time you picked it up. Okay?
You know, what's involved with someone like yourself in counseling and advocating as far as commitment or contract or involved, you know, how does that happen?
So yeah, that's a very good question. So, yeah, she wants to know what would the requirement be on, like, if they came to me and I kind of tried to help you enroll in a plan. Since I am licensed, and I'm an independent agent, I'm licensed with all these different carriers. Actually, I work generally for my clients because I'm not employed by the insurance carrier, okay? I kind of hook you up as the client to the correct carrier, and you pay me nothing. I mean, I don't charge anything. The only way that I get paid is if I enroll you in a plan, and then I service that plan. So if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, you know, you don't want to call up an 800 number and hope to heck that you get somebody to answer your questions. That's why you come to us. We service your plan. We help you understand it. If there's a claim issue, you know, if there's an issue on a prescription, at least we can guide you, you know, through this maze. I was going to put in a little comic, and I should have, because it was this big maze, and it was funny because they had this cute little old lady on a walker who was going from door to door and had this big maze, and it was like part D, and then there's part C, and you know, all these different things, and it was a maze, and it was trying to say, you start here, and you tried to end up over there, and it was almost impossible. So I should have put that in, actually, because I thought it was pretty funny. I know, so I thought, well, some of the people might think it's funny, and some people may not, so that's probably why I didn't. But anyway, yeah, it is kind of complicated, but that's why. I mean, there's not any cost. I have a lot of people come in to me and say, well, how much do I owe you since I didn't enroll into anything? And I was like, no, you don't owe me anything. It's just an educational type piece, and that's what we do.
If you've seen that ad on TV, you know, how do you choose Medicare? And they say, come on, and she gets on this monstrous John Deere, and she just mows the maze down.
Yeah, exactly. Any other questions? Oh, good question. So foreign travel. Okay, so what happens is generally Medicare, original Medicare, does not cover you outside of the United States, period. Okay, so you have to be aware of that. If you're on and enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan, again, the word advantage, they cover you worldwide for urgent and emergent care, okay? But, and also on some of the Medicare supplement plans, they have foreign travel benefit where they'll cover up to $50,000, okay, which is kind of like a little travel plan. But here's the kicker, okay? If you're traveling outside of the U.S. and you have that coverage, make sure, because you're going to have to pay the claim at the time, so, you know, that you're needing help. So I had a gal that thought she had a stroke on a cruise ship, and they life-flighted her into town, okay? But she was on the water, and so they said that she was in the U.S., but yet they had I guess he was a foreign doctor that was on the ship, okay? So what happens is you have to pay the claim. I mean, they just made her pay the claim. It's like $6,000. Then what you have to do is you have to come back, but you have to get a receipt. You have to get a receipt. You have to get a receipt of what prescriptions that they gave you and generally notes, okay? Because if you don't, that's where they take advantage of you. You can't just give me a visa statement and say, here's my $6,000. You know what I mean? You have to have it. What is prescriptions? You know, what did they do? What's the cost? And then they can kind of go, because they have to kind of, if it's in a different language, they have to translate it, and then they have to process the claim when you come back, and you'll be reimbursed. Okay?
You need the medical records?
If you can, yes. Have them just write down, what did they do to you and for the cost? You know what I mean? What prescriptions, if any, did they give to you? Because with hers, it was really important to know, because, I mean, they thought she had a stroke, and actually she didn't. You know what I mean? She just must have had something happen. And actually, we submitted it to Medicare. And so Medicare did process it, you know what I mean? But the problem is if you have it depends on the doctor that's on the cruise ship. Are they a U.S. doctor?
No, never.
Or are they a foreign doctor?
Well, and if you're out beyond the limit, you're whatever the nationality of the ship's registered to.
Right. Yeah. So it really kind of depends on the plan that you're on. But even all that, you have to make sure you know how that works on foreign travel. And I have some of my clients will pick up an evacuation policy, an extra policy. That's if you travel a lot. You're going to have to decide if that's something you need extra, you know. But I've had claims on it, you know, where people have come back. And I've even had to help them, you know, bill Medicare. And then once we did that, we submitted it, you know, to the plan. And they've got reimbursed. So, but you have to be patient again. You know, she paid a lot of money. And it took us like 3 to 4 months to get her money back to her. But we did it. It can happen. Any other questions?
I recently went to my doctor and had the first immunization with the Shingrix vaccine. And I was told that I had to pay $163 for that shot. And I asked why, since it's a covered immunization. And they said they needed to turn it into Medicare Part D. And I didn't argue with them. I just paid it. And then I called my United Healthcare and asked if they were doing it properly. And they said yes. And I said, well, I want to protest that because it's an immunization that's clearly covered in my plan. They sent me by mail, they wouldn't send it any other way, a reimbursement form. And it is on the form, an immunization. Now, I need to wait for my explanation of benefits to go with that. So I haven't returned it yet. But does that sound right to you?
Mm-hmm.
Will I get reimbursed through that?
You should, but again, it's the cost of it. You know, you might be reimbursed some of it, but, you know, number one, you know, do you have, it's probably a brand name. Do you have an Rx deductible? You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that will play into that. Yeah. Yeah, so you have to make sure you know what drug tier, again, that falls into. And so just to let you know, on the shingle shot, the older shingle shot is generally covered, but the new one is not covered yet. It's supposed to be better, believe me. I've had a lot of people come in and ask, and you have to have two, yes. So either you're going to have to wait until the new one is starting to be covered by Medicare, which I'm sure it will be, you know, because sometimes it all depends when it comes out, you know, when they renew their drug list. It could be in January. We'll just have to look at it to see when they're going to start covering it. But this year I've had to tell a lot of my clients that if they have that new one, they're going to have to pay for it themselves, period. Or they're going to have to be patient and wait and to see, you know, when their drug plan for January to see if they pick that up. But, yes, I mean, you're going to have to pay probably a large part of it, you know, because sometimes I don't know what drug tier that's going to fall into. So, yes, unfortunately, yeah. Right. It all depends on what type, because there's two different types of the shingle shot. Okay. Okay. Right, right, right. They do, because it is. They generally cover some of those immunizations under D. But you can go to a pharmacy and get the shot. You can definitely do that, you know, instead of going to your provider to get the shot. But see, you got to make sure they bill your Part D. It all depends on where you're getting it, too. That's what I'm saying. It gets detailed, you know, like what drug tier is it? Where are you going to have it done at? Depends upon how it's going to be covered. I can't tell you, you know, how important that is. So I can kind of, you know, help you out or give questions, you know, if you have any more questions on that. Okay.
Obviously needed. So complex.
welcome.